our body, entertainment, our passions, television, radio, food, drink, newspapers, magazines, sleep. One letter I'll never forget that I got from my Jesuit provincial. It's a Dear John letter. Dear John, I hear you're getting 4 hours of sleep. Let me know if it's true. Get six. Sincerely yours. His name was also John. John McGrail, my provincial. So I wrote back and I said, Dear John, do you mean 6 hours every night or 6 hours on the average? I got another letter from my provincial. Dear John, don't be funny. 6 hours every night. And I can tell you, I've been trying to keep that rule for the last 20 years. My mother, I never remember once my widowed mother having more than 4 hours of sleep any night. Lost her husband and my father when I was a year old. Scrubbed office buildings. Cleaned. Through the night. And try to keep an eye on her recalcitrant boy. I now get, I make sure I get at least 6 hours. In fact, if I didn't, I would, my next confession, I confess being disobedient. Sleep, work, leisure, funds. I'm due to go to Rome on the 13th on business. And not coincidentally, my partner going to Rome is a multimillionaire. That's the result of discrimination. The Holy See needs financial assistance. Number two, liberate. First is discriminate. Second conclusion, liberate. We are naturally attracted to certain persons, places, and things. It's the way we're made. There's no sin in that. We have both a nature and a fallen human nature. What we must work at, and I call it liberation, we must work at making ourselves. And the word that Ignatius uses is indifferent, not impassive, but free in our hearts from being a slave of our natural attractions or a slave of our natural dislikes and fears. Nothing wrong in liking certain people. Nothing wrong in disliking certain people. You don't go around telling people you dislike them. But certain people we do not naturally like. So, do we have to liberate ourselves from our deeply instinctive interior desires and fears? Yes. I cannot just say because something attracts me, therefore I should choose it. Or something repels me, I'll get rid of it. Because maybe the thing that I don't like, is this possible? Is it possible the thing that I don't like God wants? Is that possible? Is it further possible are things that I'm strongly attracted to, that God does not want me to choose. In a word, I must, and here's the vocabulary of St. Ignatius, we must make ourselves internally free. We must free our wills from the instinctive, and I have to use the word, enslavement to which they are spontaneously prone. We must free our wills, even though the emotions may remain what they were. No problem with the emotions. It's the will. For attractive persons and things who are a temptation to us, to lust or envy or greed, unless we master, which means liberate, our so-called free will. I use that word advisedly. We can be in prison without having any bars around us. That makes sense. And it's this liberation which is at the heart of sanctification. And the same with unattractive, even repulsive, persons, places, and things who say would be a temptation, would be. Drop the subjunctive, use the indicative, that are temptations to impatience, to uncharitableness, to rejection. The last person I would, now I use the subjunctive, want to be talking to is this so-and-so. We try not even to show externally how we feel interiorly, but we must master those internal impulses. Otherwise, the inevitable follows. If I don't control my uncharitable thoughts, there's no way I will control my uncharitable words, and there's no way I will control my uncharitable actions. Sanctity begins in the mind. In the mind. And for a lot of people, their minds are like a zoo filled with animals going all over and doing untold havoc. Third conclusion. Evaluate. Now notice, and we keep repeating, it doesn't matter how we feel. It does not matter what emotions we have. The key is what we do with those feelings and emotions. We must therefore evaluate. And Ignatius gives us four classes. And they're just examples, but they're pretty basic ones. Question. Do we all naturally prefer health to sickness? Naturally. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a medical profession or hospitals. We've got to evaluate. In my life, am I so preoccupied, so concerned about my health that things that I know God wants me to do having failed to evaluate that I have a natural tendency, well, to be overly solicitous about my health. I was in the novitiate 1 month when I was hospitalized for major surgery. When I got out, I thought he would throw me out. And I've been counting, I shouldn't have, but I did. Now 21 hospitalizations since I've entered the Society of Jesus. Let me tell you, these meditations will be as autobiographical as I can make them without making a public confession. And we had in 1981 awaiting heart surgery, four-way bypass, having the feast of St. Francis, October the 4th. Mother was a Franciscan tertiary. Lord, if you want to make it today, please call me into eternity on the feast of St. Francis. My mother will appreciate it. Well, but you don't run away from sickness. But it's not good for my health. What isn't good for your health? Well, doing this or that work, say up charity. Riches. We all naturally desire to possess rather than to lack. In the vocabulary of secularism, poverty is an evil. Did you know that? People, can you imagine? Do you have a Canadian equivalent of a dime? Do you? Do you call it a dime too? People in a hurry. Well, drop a dime. Big bucks, 6'2". He will lean over and pick up that dime. In other words, not to be concerned, oh, how important this is, to accumulate. If I know that God wants me to do something, I don't ask, where am I going to get the money? Can you hear me? Is that being recorded? No. Well, that's the purpose of the retreat, to find out what things in my life God wants me to do. But I don't have the money. That's not the point. Does God want me to do it? Yes. If He does, He will provide. By the way, that's the verb that goes with providence. God provides. And what He said about the birds of the air, remember? And the lilies of the field. Oh, you stupid human beings. By the way, birds do not get ulcers. However, it's possible for animals to have ulcers induced. Did you know that? By human beings. From the outside. My latest figure is that 60 million Americans. Do you call us Americans? I'm not comfortable with that word because I figure Canada is North America too. In any case, 60 million, so my figure goes, Americans obtain some semblance of tranquility by using tranquilizers. 60 million. Third, we do not, insofar as in us lies, one honor or prefer to dishonor? Well, this is a very safe question. What do we naturally prefer, to be accepted or to be rejected by people? Father, will you please ask some intelligent questions? Oh, how many people, otherwise good people, gifted people. I don't say don't reach the peak of the holiness to which God calls them, but scarcely get off the ground because they are slaves of human respect. I've eaten too many times in too many restaurants. By the way, just for the record, most of the time somebody else pays, as last night, for the meal. See, a crowded restaurant. So, grace before meals. If you don't just look around, see if somebody is looking. No, you don't look at all. Very big. I want to say ostentatious, sign of the cross. How we dread rejection and how we crave acceptance. I tell people, I spent 5 years at a mental institution. And sometimes they stop writing. Comma. As chaplain. Here's what I found. Of the 600 Catholics that were very institutionalized, there were many more over a period of 5 years. Because many were released, but the average number was 600 Catholics out of 3,000 residents, as they called them. I believe most mental breakdowns are due to rejection by someone whom that person had loved. That's a large statement. And we cannot really remain faithful to Jesus Christ without, remember what Christ said to us? Your worst enemies will be who? Who can finish that sentence? Members of your own household. How many wives I've counseled whose husbands tell them they're fanatics because they say insist on going to Mass every day. All this pious junk you've got around the house, like a crucifix. This, for all of us, is in greater or less measure our biography. Of course, we practice prudence. Of course, we practice charity. We don't go walking around wrapped in a papal flag. We don't go around calling people heretics. You watch your language. Just for the record, on three occasions, television stations in Chicago had offered prime-time showing Hans Küng and a character by the name of John Harden on public television, and 3 times Hans Küng turned down the invitation. I am too smart to publicly calling him a heretic. But He wanted to preserve his acceptance. The bottom line in so much dissent in the church today is publicity. I know exactly how I can make the front page of the New York Times. Bless the Pope. They go on. We're still on. Evaluate. We do not prefer a long life to a short life. Naturally speaking, everybody wants to live a long life. One of the great treasures of our Catholic faith is we've got so many youngsters who are canonized. Mere children. Old age is no guarantee of sanctity. I can say that safely. This includes ease, comfort, anxious care of the body. Anything to sustain my life. Now we are, as you know, living in a world where the lifespan, I don't know what had happened in Canada, but now with the United States, since 1900, the average American, 230-some million people, the average American lives 30 years longer in 1990 than they had lived in 1900. Are there advantages to living longer? Yes. Because you can serve God longer. But what a difference between two pieces, two persons, one of whom evaluates, what am I going to do with my life? And would, for example, my solicitous care for my body, would it help, say, in my practice of charity? It wasn't long after my ordination that I decided I would never guarantee myself 3 meals a day. Otherwise, I couldn't do the work that needs to be done for the Lord. Final, fourth conclusion. Concentrate. The mentality that we should have, and this is the climax of these four conclusions, should be that we have only one desire and thus make only one choice. What is that? Among all and any of the creatures that God puts into our lives, that we choose that one. Concentrate. That one which our conscience tells us is more. More what? More conducive to our heavenly destiny. As I look back when I entered the Society of Jesus, I was a married man. I talk about, well, family cares. I know a lot about family cares, but not my own. But, thanks to God's grace, I honestly believe that if I entered the Jesuits, I'd have a better chance of getting to heaven. I was scared, thank God, of going to hell. Not the highest motive, but not a bad one. What is more conducive to leading to heaven? Secondly, what is more certain to bring us to heaven. Usually the creatures in our lives is not, do you have a lottery in Canada? Is not winning the lottery. Whatever the mathematical odds, as you know, the amount of certitude, depending on how big the prize, there are just that many more people. So, what is more certain, more sure, more secure? They can be safe, so careful. For example, I don't drive a car, just for the record. Then you want to make sure, see that the brakes are working, and well, what else do you need on the car? The steering wheel and a few other items. Father, did you buy snow tires? To provide more certainty that we get to our destiny, and that was mission, right? Mission is it Mission Vancouver or just plain mission? British mission, British Columbia. Okay. Well, that's our mission. We were sent into the world to reach heaven. You have to put on snow tires, but it costs money. Well, look, to be more sure, more secure, more safe. Thirdly, still the number four, more effective. What is more effective in leading us to heaven? And we ask, why more? Concentrate on that which is more. More what? More conducive, more certain, more effective, because we are acting wisely. We're also acting generously. That more, remember, is both a safeguard and a sacrifice. It is a safeguard because then we are more sure of getting to heaven. And it is a sacrifice because you don't just ask yourself, would I be committing a sin if I did this? But rather, would God be more pleased? Notice, my apologies, Father. We still have a closing prayer. It's a little long, one page in my notes, but I think it's worth saying. Lord Jesus Christ, you know better than I do what creatures in my life keep me from serving you as perfectly as I should. You also know my weakness of will, how I naturally go after what appeals to me and run away from what I fear. Give me, therefore, dear Lord, the light to see myself as you see me, honestly, sincerely, and naked in spirit before your eyes. Show me, during this retreat,